Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today is the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is in St. Louis right now, and her preaching today is entitled, The Great Woman of Shunem.
A reading from the second book of Kings. One day, Elisha came to Shunem, where there was a woman of influence who urged him to dine with her. Afterward, whenever he passed by, he used to stop there to dine. So she said to her husband, I know that Elisha is a holy man of God. Since he visits us often, let us arrange a little room on the roof and furnish it for him with a bed, table, chair, and lamp, so that when he comes to us, he can stay there. Sometime later, Elisha arrived and stayed in the room overnight. Later, Elisha asked, can something be done for her? His servant Gehazi answered, yes. She has no son and her husband is getting on in years. Elisha said, call her. When the woman had been called and stood at the door, Elisha promised, this time next year, you will be fondling a baby son. Once upon a time, there was a woman from Shunem. If you have no idea where that is, you are in good company. I've looked at lots of maps of Israel, and it took me a bit to find this little town in Galilee, about halfway between Mount Carmel and the Sea of Galilee, a little south of both of them. In Hebrew, its name means double resting place or two tranquil dwellings, emphasizing it was a sleepy little town. And if you've never heard of this woman before, you are also in good company. As far as I can tell, today's first reading is the only time she appears in the lectionary. And when you only hear mention of someone once every 3 years, it might be hard to cultivate an ongoing relationship. But we should get to know this woman from Shunem, because scripture refers to her as an Isha Gadola. This is how she's introduced in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Isha Gadola. It's a little hard to know how to translate that term. Lectionary says a woman of influence. Some Bibles translate it a wealthy woman. But it could be understood more generally, just as a great woman. It's not explicit what makes her great. Obviously, she does have some means. When the prophet Elisha comes through Shunem, she has the means to build him a permanent furnished extra room on the top of her house, something few of us would be able to pull off even today. But there's more to her than that. If you read her whole story in the second book of Kings, and we only get a snippet of this story in the lectionary, you get the sense that her greatness, her influence, comes from something beyond wealth. In the part of her story that we don't hear, we find out that the first time Elisha asks her if there's anything he can do for her in gratitude for her hospitality, she basically says no. She's among her own people. She's got everything she needs. She's content. It's only Elisha's sidekick, Gehazi, that comes up with the idea that she might like a child. The Hebrew scriptures are riddled with barren women who pray for the gift of a child. She's the only one who receives without asking. And who knows exactly how she felt about that. We do find out that she falls in love with the son she has and is devastated later in the same chapter when he dies while still a child, apparently of a heat stroke or the like, out in his father's field. Without telling anyone that the child has died or where she's going, she has her donkey saddled up and travels the 15 miles from Shunem to Mount Carmel, where Elisha more regularly resides, to tell him to get his seat back into town and fix the situation. She doesn't make a wider scene getting everyone else involved. She simply demands he return in person and make things right, which he does. Her son returns to life. A few chapters later, Elisha tells her to leave Shunem with her son because of a coming famine. She does for 7 years. And when she returns, she finds squatters have overtaken her home and property. She goes straight to the king, bursting into the room, Right as Gehazi is regaling the king about Elisha raising her son, the king is amazed at her sudden reappearance right in the middle of her own story and rules in her favor, giving her back her property and the income produced from her land over the past 7 years. So when scripture calls her an Isha Gadola, it likely means much more than that she was wealthy. It means she's a person with a head on her shoulders, a woman who's proactive in initiating a relationship with Elisha when she spots him in need of a meal, a woman who does not wait for her husband in order to make decisions for her, but can do things on her own. She's a person who can tell without being told that Elisha's a man of God. She sees that he needs a place to stay, and she can fix that. When her son dies, she holds his feet to the fire. He needs to fix that. She is afraid of neither prophets nor kings, but can speak her mind. She stands up for herself, even as she watches out for others. She is calm and unflappable and clear. Yes, she has means, but more than that, she does have influence. She can make things happen in her sleepy little town. She is great. Often in the history of the church, we lift up the greatness of the prophet, the one who's received a call from God to preach God's word. We don't often draw attention much to the greatness of the ones who feed the prophet out of the goodness of their hearts, and the ones who give the prophet rest, sometimes even double rest for both their bodies and their spirits. We draw a little attention to the friends of the prophets, those who hold the prophet accountable for what they've preached, who tell the prophet a thing or two. We don't pay much attention to the Isha Gadola, who make the lifestyle of the prophet possible, sustainable, who make the whole business model of prophecy workable. In today's gospel passage from Matthew chapter 10, Jesus reminds us not to forget to pay attention to these Isha Gadola, who are just as important to the life of the church as the prophet, the evangelist, the preacher. He says that anyone who receives a prophet receives the same award as the prophet. Anyone who welcomes the righteous person receives the same award as the righteous person. One ministry is not more valuable than the other in the eyes of God. Today, do not neglect to celebrate the Isha Gadola in your own congregation. I say that fully aware that there is a very good chance that you are one of these women of Shunem. And I want you to know that today I'm giving thanks to God for you, for your faith and inflappability, your generosity and hospitality. But chances are that you're already aware that you are in good company. As soon as I say celebrate, there are other faithful, unflappable, generous, and hospitable people who come to your mind. And so pause now to give thanks for them too. It is your and others' oft-forgotten, noticed once every 3 years greatness that makes it possible for the Word of God to continue to find a dwelling place in sleepy little communities around the globe. Neither Elisha nor Jesus doubted that for even a minute, and neither should you.